GLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom and welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. I hope that you have enjoyed the last few teachings, the last few series that I have done. I know that the way I teach is a little bit different, a little bit odd to some people. I don't necessarily prepare half-hour shows. What I like to do, I like to keep you in tune. I like to keep you interested in the topic. So I'm doing it in a series of teachings. So please, if you miss one teaching, you have to go back and make sure you see that. If not, you're going to miss the sequence of events as you go through. But if not, you can always get the PowerPoint from the GLC website. That way you can follow alone, and though you can purchase later on at the bookstore GLC, the DVD or the audio for this teaching. It is an honor and a privilege to be a servant of the Most High Yahweh and to come to you, to your homes, and to minister to you. Now, today's teaching is going to be a very different type of teaching, and the teaching that I'm doing today, which is going to be a series, is called A Prophet Like Unto Moses. Now, the reason why I call it that is because being a teacher of the Torah as myself, and also being able to relay the message of our Messiah, Yeshua, a lot of the Jews are asking one question. Is he the prophet? Is Yeshua the Messiah the prophet that Orthodox Judaism is waiting for? And the reason why I did this teaching was because there was a Orthodox person that I met on the internet who basically challenged me to prove if Yeshua was like unto Moses. So therefore, I did and went out, and what we're doing is a typology. Typologies in the Bible, for example, the story of Isaac is a typology of the Messiah. The story of Jacob is a typology of the Messiah. The story of Joseph is a typology of Messiah as the Redeemer. The story of Abraham is a typology of the Messiah, how he bring forth restoration to all humankind. So as we're going to go through this session, I want you to understand that we are looking at typologies. The reason why the Jews don't believe in Yeshua is because we are teaching people certain principles that go against the Torah. So if we are trying to show them the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, the one we believe in, our Redeemer, our Savior, then we have to put it in a context that my Jewish brothers will understand it. Again, we're not trying to convert the Jews. That's not what we're trying to do. Don't you ever do that. You don't need to convert the Jews. They need reconciliation and restoration and Baal Teshuvah. They need to return back to the Torah. They need to come back in repentance, just like Christianity needs to come back and do repentance and come back to the covenant of the Torah. So it's both sides. But in order for us to send the message of restoration and for them to see that Yeshua is the right prophet, that he is the right Messiah, first we need to answer some questions. And we're going to go right to the PowerPoint so you see what I mean. I hope you enjoy this teaching. Now, in Luke chapter 24, verse 27 says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So the question to me is this. If Yeshua said this in Luke 24, 27, and he is beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now remember, when Yeshua was alive, the New Testament as you know it did not exist. When Yeshua was alive, and when Peter and Paul and James, and Jacob, when he was alive, the New Testament as you know it did not exist. The whole part of the Bible did not exist. What they would do, they would go to the synagogues and they would teach Messiah from the scrolls, from the Old Testament, from the Tanakh. I don't like really the word Old Testament, but I like the word Tanakh, or scriptures. Okay, that's really the right way of saying it. So Yeshua says that beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that's basically telling me that if I really know the Messiah, I should be able to do exactly what Yeshua did. I should be able to do exactly what Paul did. I should be able to do exactly what James and Peter and John and all the apostles did. Open the scripture. And then the book of Acts tells us that Paul, when he would go into synagogue, he went to the Bereans, right? They will open scripture and he will prove Yeshua from scripture only. Can you and I do the same? Can you go to a rabbi and show Messiah without quoting Isaiah 53? All the way through the story. Did you know that Jonah is a typology of the Messiah? And the rabbis know this? Now, is that anything strange that, you know, now Yeshua is making a comparison to dying and resurrecting 3 days, like being in the belly of the well, like Jonah? Interesting. So what we going back to the PowerPoint, we see in Luke chapter 24, verse 44 says, "And he said unto them," Yeshua, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the Nevi'im, the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. You see what I mean? It doesn't say that they might understand the New Testament, does it? Again, I am not against the New Testament. Don't get me wrong. It's part of the scripture, the Bible as we know it. But my challenge to you as believers is, can you do the same Yeshua did? Can you do the same that Paul did? Can you do the same as James and John at the time of the first century? Can you open the scriptures only and prove Yeshua from scriptures only? Yeah, they're saying there's over 300 prophecies. But do you know there's actually more than that? You go on the underlying text and you start looking into the text. You start looking into the scripture. And there's a lot more mysteries within the text that people are not preaching. And this is one of the reasons why I'm doing this type of teachings, to show you how you can make comparisons. So today we're going to talk about Yeshua in the role of the prophet. In the role of the prophet, okay? Now, he had to say certain words, and we're going to compare that. Going back to the PowerPoint, how come the Jews do not believe in Yeshua as the prophet sent by Yahweh? Now, remember, I'm not talking about him in the sense of the priest. I'm not talking about him in the sense of the king. I'm not talking about him in the sense of the Passover lamb. I'm not talking about him in the Parah Adumah, on the red heifer sacrifice. I'm not talking about in that context. I'm using the context of Nevi'im, prophet, Navi. Okay? We're going to prove that Yeshua, if he is a true prophet, then he has to be like Moses. And we're going to take the life of Moses and the life of Yeshua, and let's see if they parallel. If they do not parallel, guess what? Then he's not the prophet like unto Moses. And that would eliminate him as the Messiah altogether. So this is a very important teaching in my opinion. Let's go back to the PowerPoint here. According to Jewish understanding, Moses is the standard by which any prophet is measured. And they understand that the future prophet sent by Yahweh must be like Moses. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 through 20, there is a prophecy that when you talk to all of the rabbis, they quote you. If anybody will come and want to be a candidate for a Messiah or the prophet, they have to qualify here. Now, I'm going to show you the underlying text here. It says, in Deuteronomy 18:18 says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you. It's talking to Moses there, right? And will put my words, and the speaker here is Yahweh, Hashem. I'll put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. What's interesting is, that it, when it says speak, between the word speak and unto them, you find two Hebrew letters standing by themselves. It's called the Aleph and the Tav, better known to you in the New Testament as the Alpha and Omega. And this is one of the 613 places in the Torah that is standing by itself. Sorry, 611 places in the Torah that's standing by itself. Why? Well, it's a pointer to a direct object. In grammatical Hebrew, it's pointing to the next word. But in certain places in the Torah, standing by itself, there's no translation into any language of the world. So it's giving you a clue. It's saying that the prophet who will speak the words of Yahweh is the Alpha and Omega, the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. That's really what it's telling you. Let's go to verse 19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, see the words of who? Of Yahweh, which he, who's he, the prophet, the Alpha and Omega, the Aleph Tav, shall speak in my name, in the name of Yahweh, I will require it of him. In verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And that's the verse that I want to focus in right there. Every time a Christian, and again, I'm not judging you. Please understand, as a Jew, this is how I'm perceiving things. This is how I see things, okay? How I'm seeing it by the example that I'm seeing when you go to Israel. And I know the desire is good, and I know you want to do well, and I know you want to do those things that you need. The problem is that we don't really have the understanding to really show them who the Messiah is by our actions. Unfortunately, we have inherited traditions. And that's the way it's been going on. Now, what's interesting is that in Deuteronomy chapter, I'm going to find this verse here. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, it tells us, verse 1 through 4, says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder, Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, And verse 2. And the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after all the gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. Well, if you are proclaiming to follow the Jewish Messiah, but you are still observing some of the feasts that are not God-ordained, that are not ordained by Yahweh. The feasts that are not ordained by Yahweh are Christmas, Easter, those things that are not ordained by Yahweh, Sunday. Then if you say you believe in Yeshua and you're keeping those things that are not in the Bible, the Jew will look at you and he will perceive and he will give them the understanding by your actions that the Messiah that you're serving is not the Jewish Messiah they are looking for. Now, are you doing that from the beginning because you thought you wanted to deliberately trying to keep the Messiah from the Jews? No. That's what we have inherited, and we are working with what we have. And I'm letting you know now, do some research on the origins of Christmas and Easter and some of those places and find out for yourself if, in fact, that is holy or not. And if it's not, are you willing to change it and go back to the Leviticus 23, Feast of Yahweh? Sometimes I have to be a little bold, but I'm not telling you that to judge you. I'm just letting you to lead you and to show you what the Scripture says. So therefore, verse 3. It says, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for Yahweh your Elohim is testing you to know whether you love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. You see what I mean? So if you go to Israel, your desire is to really serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but your lifestyle is speaking and giving you a different testimony to us, the Jews, then we cannot verify that the Messiah that you're serving is the Messiah that I'm looking for. See, Torah is a lifestyle. It's not just saying, do you love the Lord? It's walking in the commandments of the Lord that lets me know that you are walking in obedience and faithfulness to the commandments that I want to follow. Amen? Now let's go back to the text. Does Yeshua qualify as the prophet sent by Yahweh? We need to search out scriptures and prove that Yeshua is Messiah, the anointed. The word Messiah is the word Messiah there in Greek means anointed. And in John 12:49, it says, let's see what Yeshua says. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it says about the Father will send him, you know. It says in Deuteronomy 18 that the prophet will be sent by the Father and will speak the word of the Father. So going back to the screen, I want you to notice something. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which have sent me. He gave me a commandment, which I should say, what I should say, and what I shall speak. So anyway, I got an email this morning. It's really intriguing. I was teaching about the Sabbath last night on the air on live TV, and a gentleman sent me a teaching, an email, basically refuting what I was saying last night. And he quoted Galatians, so obviously he has not been watching my teachings on Galatians that I've done. And then he quoted a verse in Matthew 5:17, he tried to refute me, and by refuting the text, he actually was helping me establish my point. You know, he quoted this. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not came to destroy, but to fulfill. He quoted me that verse, and then he isolated the word fulfilled, saying, you see, the law is fulfilled. We don't need to follow it anymore. But if you read verse 17, 18, and 19, that's not what it says. By the word fulfill there in the Greek is plero. And the word plero means to make it full of meaning. It doesn't mean to do away with. Because he says, do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I do not come to destroy, but to make it full of meaning. Verse 18, for surely I say it unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from this Torah until it is all fulfilled. See, it hasn't come to fruition yet. We're still on the earth. Messiah has not come yet. We're not in the Messianic age. So therefore, everything stands. Verse 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So keeping the Sabbath and keeping the feast is not for salvation, it's for obedience. Salvation is freely given to those who believe in Messiah, or redemption is freely given to those who believe, right? But obedience is a completely different issue. And here we see that Yeshua is speaking about the Father's with the words that the Father sent him, the Father who sent him, Sheliach. And that's a very important word. Let's go back to John chapter 23, says, that all men shall honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honor not the Son, honor not the Father, which has sent me. You see that all through Scripture says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In other words, so he is saying, if you believe my words, and I'm, by the way, he was the lawgiver, so he gave the commandments on Mount Sinai, and he's the word of the Lord, and he was sent by the Father to teach the good news of the gospel, right? So what's interesting is, if he is preaching the words of the Father, and the Father gave him the commandments to give to Israel Mount Sinai, so it makes no sense. Why would he teach anything other than the commandments? He is only using Scripture the whole time. The whole issue between him and the Pharisees is the difference between the Torah Sheve'al Peh, which means the oral law of the Pharisees, and the Torah, the written Torah. Okay, the difference between the written word and the oral traditions. Just like when you have issues with me talking about the feast of the Lord and Sabbath and eating kosher, and you said, well, no, that we were taught one way. You're dealing with the word of the Lord, the written word of God, and the traditions of men. We're going to have to choose eventually what is pleasing unto the creator of the universe instead of what is pleasing unto the pastors and the churches. I know it sounds a little bit, challenging, but it's a way to provoke you to go back and read Scripture. Amen? All right. I continue. In John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If you notice, that expression, Shaliach, sent me, is consistent through the New Testament. John chapter 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish. You see, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Again, you see the same thing. John 7 verse 16 says, Yeshua answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So the Father's. If any man will do his will, whose will? The one that sent him. He shall know of the doctrine. What doctrine is that? The written word of God. Whether it will be of Yahweh or whether I speak of myself. That's some challenging words. Because now Yeshua is saying, whatever I say, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, I'm not sent of the Father. I'm paraphrasing really what he's trying to tell you. This is one of the things that really allow me and help me to come to a deeper understanding of the Torah and the prophets. Only reading the words of Yeshua, I was led to the conclusion that I was taught to break the commandment when Yeshua, in fact, is telling me to keep them. The Messiah is encouraging me and always reminding me to go back to the written word of Yahweh, because he gave the commandments on Mount Sinai. Amen? Let's go back to typology of the second coming in the life of Moses. Now, from now on, we're gonna have a typology. We're not going to have time in this session to really be able to get into this, because we have maybe like two more sessions to go on this one. But listen to this. We're going to do a typology. On the left, we're going to see the life of Moses. On the right, we're going to see the life of Yeshua. Okay, Moses revealed himself the first time, but was rejected by his brethren. But the second time, Moses showed himself and was with power. And in the name, the second time he showed himself was with power and the name of Yahweh, and with the name of Yahweh as the Redeemer of Israel. What happened to Yeshua? Yeshua, when he first revealed himself to his brethren, they rejected him. But the second time Yeshua shows himself to the brethren, to his brothers, he will be coming with the name of Yahweh and as the Redeemer of Israel. So that right now lines up. Moses was the Redeemer. He was rejected the first time. He goes into exile. He disappears from the world, from Mitzrayim, from chaos and desolation. That's what Mitzrayim means. And then he comes back as a redeemer. He comes back later as a priest. He comes back as a king, to take Israel back out of slavery. Let's go back to the text. One of the commentaries in the Midrash Rabbah, which is a rabbinical commentary, gives us an insight about the Moses and about the Messiah. Listen to this. Midrash Rabbah 6:2 says, my beloved spoke and said unto me, He said, I am thy Elohim. Exodus 20 verse 2. I know the exposition of the text is, my beloved is like a gazelle. This is the rabbis giving you an understanding about the role of the Messiah, how he's connecting it to Moses. He says, Israel, explained Rabbi Isaac, said to the Holy One, blessed be he, sovereign of the universe, thou hast told us that thou will come to us first. My beloved is like a gazelle. As the gazelle appears and then disappears, so the first Redeemer appeared and then disappeared. You see, the connection is between Moses appearing and then disappearing, and the rabbis understand, and they call him the gazelle. So therefore, they're saying the Messiah will come and then appear and then disappear. He will hide himself. Isn't that what happened? Yeshua came and then disappeared. We haven't known him for 2,000 years. 2 days. Let's move on. The Qumran scrolls. In the fourth cave, 521. There's 6 scrolls at Qumran. Says this, quote, and as for the wonders that are not of the works of Adonai, when he, that is Messiah, comes, then he will heal the sick, resurrect the dead, and the poor announce glad tidings. There's 6 scrolls, Qumran. It's telling you what's going to happen. Interesting, right? This was written probably before Yeshua came in the picture. And they're giving you evidence about when the Messiah will come. The first thing he's going to do, he's going to resurrect the dead. He's going to bring the good news. He's going to heal the sick. What did Yeshua do the first time he came? Exactly what the Qumrans are talking about. So the Qumran scrolls is a witness to what the work of Messiah did. See, if the works of the Messiah doesn't line up with the scriptures and the evidence in the first century, then he's not the Messiah. Right now, he is. He's the only possible one. Let's go back. The Midrash Rut Rabbah, and this is the only time we're going to have, establish it with the rabbinical commentaries. And then when you come back in the next session, we're going to go right into the text and you're going to see it. It says, Midrash Rabbah 5:6 says, quote, He will be with the last deliverer, Messiah, as with the first, Moses. As the first deliverer revealed himself first to the Israelites and then withdrew, So also will the last deliverer reveal himself to the Israelites and then withdraw for a while. To me, that is amazing. It is amazing how even in the Midrash Rabbah, Ruth Rabbah, is telling you the role of the Messiah and how it will be. And they're comparing him to Moses the whole time. And that's a clue to us. So if you encounter a Jewish brother who is an Orthodox and you try to talk to him about Yeshua, don't talk to him about Yeshua as the king right now. Talk to him as the righteous one, the Tzaddik. Talk to him as the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest. And speak to him like the Moses, that he requires, that he fulfills the requirement of the prophet like unto Moses. I hope this is making sense to you, because we're going to get into really exciting things comparing the life of Moses and the life of Yeshua. And this is the evidence that we need in order to do what? To show our Jewish brothers that we are serving the right Messiah. Remember, they have the scriptures. And let me give you some historical facts. Modern Judaism does not see Jesus as you know it. I know him as Yeshua, his Hebrew name. The reason why they don't see Yeshua as the Messiah of most of the Messiah of Yahweh, as the anointed one coming from Yahweh, and as that prophet, is because unfortunately you and I, we come from a system in which we have inherited lies. And it tells you in the book of Jeremiah, before I go into the next session, I want to leave you with this. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, it tells you this, verse 14, 16 verse 14 all the way to verse 20. It says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives, Yahweh lives, who brought you up, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But Adonai lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them into their land, and I will give them to their fathers. Behold, I will send many fishermen, and that has to do with John 21, says the Lord, and they shall fish them, and afterwards I will send many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill, out of all the holes of the rock. Verse 17, for my eyes are on all their ways, they are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. Verse 18. And first, I will repay double for their iniquity and their sin, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of the detestable and abominable idols, like Easter, Christmas, and some of the other ones. Sunday, the sun god. Verse 19. This is where every single one of us are. O Adonai, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. Verse 20, will a man make gods for himself which are not God? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Adonai, Yahweh. Interesting. So the text here in Jeremiah for the end of days is telling us that if we do not know the Messiah, and if we don't understand these principles, right, that we are going to inherit lies. That we will be inheriting lies. Therefore, you have to understand that we are that generation. The generation in which things are being revealed. The generation in which truth is coming out. And we have to understand that we are the privileged generation. To have an opportunity to restore ourselves. To have the opportunity to come back into the holiness of Yahweh. By using scripture in the right context and returning in our obedience and our walk. We're not questioning your salvation. We're not questioning your redemption. We are only questioning our obedience to our Father through the Son Yeshua, our Messiah. Now, I hope you stay tuned, because in the next few series, we're going to take the life of Moses and the life of Yeshua. And we're going to prove to see if Yeshua is the high priest, the prophet, like unto Moses. Remember what Deuteronomy says, that the prophet has to be like unto Moses. So as we know, and as we go through this teaching, if Yeshua doesn't line up with the life of Moses, he's not the Messiah. It's exciting times we're living on. I hope you join me. And it's an honor to be here. Shalom Aleichem. And we'll see you next time. Shalom, and thank you for joining us. I hope this teaching has been a blessing and challenging for you to come back and keep searching and seeking the great things about Yahweh and His Torah. This has been a challenging teaching, and I understand that. Do not believe anything that I say. Verify everything that I say. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can send me an email at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Or if you'd like to seek out some of the other teachings that I have on my website, you can go into www.wisdomintorah.com. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me and send me an email, and you'd like to invite me to some of your congregations to share some of the things that I'm sharing on, that I'm teaching, it will be a pleasure and a privilege. Just send me an email. We can discuss the matter. And if you're interested in ordering this show, you can call GLC, and you can order the teaching. I hope that Yahweh blesses you and keep you. Now, remember, He is truth. The Torah is truth. Yeshua is truth. Our Redeemer, our Savior. May Yahweh bless you and keep you, and I'll see you next time. Shalom.
This program was produced by and for God's Learning Channel. If you enjoy this program, we need your support to keep this program on GLC. Please make your checks out to God's Learning Channel, P.O. Box 61000, Midland, Texas 79711-1000. Please be sure to designate where your contribution is intended. It is very important to let GLC know which programs you enjoy and support.